blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 368, stanzas 4 and 5. I will abundantly provide, for Zion's good the Lord hath said, I will supply her daily need and satisfy her poor with bread. 4 and 5 of 368.
Scripture reading for this afternoon will be from Hebrews chapter 10. But before, let us read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to speak unto thee, and thou dost command us to do so, but we are sinful and unholy creatures. And thou art holy, high above all this sin-cursed world. Lord, we have no worthiness, but thou sayest not, and that we must come in our worthiness. But thou hast taught thy disciples and thy church to pray in the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. O Lord, therefore we may try to lay our petition before thee, also in this afternoon hour. Now we have sung it out of thy holy word. I will abundantly provide. For Zion's good the Lord hath said, I will supply her daily need and satisfy her poor with bread. O Lord, may it be so also in this afternoon hour, that it may be experienced that thy word is true and that thou art true. Thou dost say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. O Lord, thou knowest how that thou hast knocked at the door of our hearts, maybe for so many years already, time and again when we have come up unto thy house of prayer. And thou knowest that we have on our side a desire that we might receive the benefits, but that we have no desire after thee thyself, who art the true and only good. O Lord, we have no desire that this man should reign over us. We have no desire to open the door of our heart, because living in our heart is all kinds of sin, and all the world is living in our heart. And when thou wilt come in, oh, then thou wilt cast out of that temple of the Holy Ghost of thy people. Oh, thou wilt cast out of their heart all the money changers and overturn all the tables. And we have no desire for this. Oh, the door of our heart, Lord, that is so closed to thee and it is open to the world. We need to be converted and we need to see what is the only good. What is that true good? That it is thee thyself we need to prize, that which is spiritual, that which is holy, that which is godly. Our sin must become our sorrow. It must become our grief. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou can give this unto us for the first time in our life, so that there is a great change in our life, that the longings and the hungerings and the thirstings may no longer go out after all this world, but that they may begin to go out after thee, the true and the living God. And thou knowest then how many in our midst do know nothing of such desires. Lord, when we are in thy house of prayer, oh, we can only beseech thee that thou wouldest come with thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we say it, we hear it every Sabbath day again. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, send forth that Spirit to quicken us unto a new life. Remember also thy own church. O Lord, thou knowest how often it is that we cannot find a spark of true religion in our heart. O Lord, then there can be a looking back at the days that are gone by, but the power is so out of it, Lord. Oh, then they are so dependent upon Thee, who has come in the first place, that Thou will come again. Oh, then that cry goes out to Thee, remember, and when the walls of Zion are broken down, oh, when the foxes go over the walls and destroy the vines with the tender grapes, Lord, could it please Thee to come again and to restore Thy own work, to come again with tokens of Thy favor, of Thy nearness. Oh, that it might be Thy good pleasure to awaken Thy bride from that bed of sloth and to bring her up again, seeking her beloved in the midst of that city. Oh, Lord, look upon us as a congregation, both young and old, time that is quickly hastening away, and we have no impression thereof in a saving way, even when we become old. Lord, it is only Thy work. It is purely a work of Thy Holy Spirit that is able to give grace and to uphold it within us. Take reasons out of Thyself to look upon young and old in mercy, care for our schools here and in Calgary. Lord, that Thou may look on our children and their teachers day by day. Uphold and strengthen parents in that most responsible labor. Oh, give day by day those solemn impressions that time is fast hastening away, and childhood and youth are vanity. Oh, that there may be a solemn need and desire that Thou wouldest with Thy Holy Spirit come and blow where that it listeth, that Thou mayest work with might and with power. Lord, remember all Thy true sent servants. Care for them over the length and breadth of this whole world. May it please Thee to remember the instructors and our student in the theological school. Care for them all together. Help them day by day. Add also unto that number, Lord, if it could please Thee, in the coming months when that curatorium will hope to meet again. Oh, could it please Thee to gladden us with Thy deeds and to send forth with power. For when Thou sayest, follow Me, O Lord, then a man leaves everything behind, and then he follows Thee in that way that Thou wilt have him to go. O Lord, it is Thy choice, because one comes and says, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. But Thou sayest, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Oh, then it is an impossible work if Thou callest not, Lord. Oh, then we cannot continue in it. Then we shall forsake it, and then we can do nothing but turn everything upside down. But oh, when it is Thy own work, Lord, then those that have no ability, when those that have nothing to bring in themselves, Thou dost uphold and Thou dost help. O Lord, gather Thy church in the midst of our denomination and congregation. Look upon all the afflicted, her that had surgery this week. Strengthen further and uphold her in Thy mercy, and care for each and every one who suffers in mind or body or family or business. Thou knowest all the needs, both young and old. Put away the devices of the devil that are so strong in temptations. Lord, thou wast also beset with his wiles, and thou wast stronger than he. Oh, we need to be found in thee, even each and every one of us. Look upon us, O Lord, in this hour. Give a little freedom, give a little liberty, give thy spirit, feed thy people, supply for the poor. Grant that thy name may receive all the glory and all the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 446, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cried to thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now thine ear to me. And what follows, 446, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. beloved congregation, we left the children of Israel as standing by the sea. Moses said to them, "Stand still." That was not so easy. Why not? Because there were 600 chosen chariots of Pharaoh pursuing them. And we read there that Pharaoh drew nigh unto them. The children of Israel were afraid. What were they afraid for? They were afraid for their life. And when we are afraid for our life, then we do not just stand still. No, then we are not passive, but then we are active. Where do the children of Israel have to go? Because there are mountains on the sides, there is a sea before them, and that enemy that is threatening their death is behind them. You say there is nowhere for them to go. Is that right? Where then did they go? Well, when they could not go forward, and they could not go to the right or to the left, and then they went upward. Then we read that they cried unto the Lord. Do you know what that is? And when you cannot go forward and you cannot go backward, and when you cannot go to the right hand or to the left hand, and that you go upward, that is congregation, the place, the direction that we so often are leaving for the last, and which ought to be for us in the first place. Israel's cry was not so pure. It is true they cried unto the Lord, but at the same time we read and that they cried against Moses. That is, in their desperation, because they are afraid for their life, and they do not know what to do. And then the dirt comes out. And when they cry in their most holy duty unto the Lord, and then God's children find that there is so much wretchedness and so much filth, and that is accompanying that most holy duty. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Not tomorrow. No, the Lord does not wait anymore. The Lord does not wait any longer than is absolutely necessary. You say, it has taken so many years. What do you mean that the Lord does not wait any longer than is necessary? Congregation, do you know what that means? If the Lord still waits, it means that we have not yet drawn nigh unto the sea. Do you believe that? Or we can think and we say, O Lord, it is time now for thee to work, but to bring us in that place where only the Lord can do it, and where it becomes a matter of our life or our death, then the Lord does not wait any longer. No, that is what our instructors also show to us in Lord's Day 6 that we want to consider together, which speaks about the revelation of the mediator, Lord's Day 6, the revelation of the mediator. First, the person revealed in questions 16, 17, and 18. And second, the means of this revelation in question 19. Thus, the revelation of the mediator, the person revealed, question and answer 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question and answer 17. Why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question and answer 18. Who then is that mediator, who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question and answer 19. Whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. So far our Lord's Day, the revelation of the mediator, the person revealed, and the means of this revelation. We have heard last time, congregation, that we must seek for a mediator who is both perfectly a perfectly righteous man and even God himself. And now our instructors explain to us why. Thus, that mediator must be a man, they say, with a human nature. Why? Because man is the one who has sinned. Paul says that since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And our fathers say that this is a matter of justice. That requires the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. A requirement of justice. And why? Because you and I, that is mankind, are peculiar creatures. We are not like any other creature that is in the heaven or in the earth or that is beneath the earth. Because we have, children, a body and we have a soul. And we know that the angels, they are spirits, they have no soul. And we know that the animals, they have a body. The angels have no body and the animals have no soul. And thus, where can you find a creature that is like to us, like a human being? And because we are so peculiar, the Lord has made us the highest of all his creatures. We have also a greater responsibility. That is, in our body and in our soul, then we are accountable for both of these. And since there is not a creature like us in heaven or in earth, and there is no other creature that is able to fulfill the duties and that the human nature is supposed to fulfill and also to pay the punishment, and that that human nature is required to pay from the Lord. Thus, the obligations of mankind, they have to do with his body, and they have to do with his soul. And then there is no other creature having a body and a soul, and therefore no other creature and that is able to satisfy for mankind. That satisfaction has to be under the law. When you are hungry, children, then you say, I am satisfied when I eat. When I drink, then I am satisfied. My thirst is satisfied. What is here being spoken about? It is spoken about justice being satisfied. And we have heard a little about that. And now that justice has to be satisfied through the law. That is, that justice has to be satisfied actually in a legal manner, because it is the law that is requiring our obligations to be fulfilled, and it is the law that is requiring our punishment also to be executed. There are different kinds of laws. There are natural laws. No, it is not the natural laws that are requiring these things. There are laws of instinct that the animals have, and we have a certain of them also. It is not these kinds of laws, no, but it is the moral law, which is requiring the fulfillment of our obligations and also of our punishments. Thus, a judge is not able to impute, because that is the work of a judge, to impute guilt to an animal. He cannot impute righteousness to an animal. And why not? Because an animal has no soul. Because an animal has no moral capacity. There is no such thing for an animal as right or wrong. Thus, an animal cannot be charged with sin. He cannot be charged with guilt. Neither can righteousness be imputed unto such an animal and an angel. Can an angel, children, die? No, you say an angel cannot die. Why not? Because an angel has no natural body that he is able to die like we can die. And thus, no angel is able to pay that price and that we need to pay. Thus, there is no other creature in heaven and in earth that can pay that penalty except for that human nature. We read together that the blood of bulls and of goats is not able to take away sin. But our fathers say that human nature that would make satisfaction for others must be itself also perfectly righteous. What does that mean? That means it must be without sin. That means that it must be without the least stain of sin in its nature. A sinner cannot satisfy for others. Sinner cannot satisfy for himself. And then he obviously is not able to satisfy for others. And so what is so plain as this? If we have a poor man and he is begging, he does not beg from his fellow poor man, from his fellow beggar, and that is begging with him. No, he says that is useless because he has nothing to give for me. And thus he must find someone who is able to give to him that which he lacks. That mediator also has to do something. That mediator has to appear before God. He has to approach unto God on behalf of sinful men. Why? Why don't they approach? Well, they cannot approach because God is holy. Do we feel it sometimes? And thus, if they cannot approach because of their unrighteousness, their unholiness, then certainly that mediator must be a man which is perfectly righteous. Thus, congregation, we spoke about a man who comes to the end of looking within. And when he will begin to look outside of himself, then he is quickly going to find in all, amidst all the creatures amongst which he dwells, that there is no one else, a mere creature in this world, that is able to satisfy for him. You know, when Samaria was besieged, then there was a great famine, we read. And then there was a woman who cried unto the king. She said, "Help, my lord, O king." And the king said to her, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" Ah, that was the king. That was a man who was more powerful than all the other subjects that were under him. He was wielding the scepter. He had the reins of the kingdom in his hand. They say the most powerful of all the creatures of the kingdom. And that man could not feed one hungry woman. And our congregation, the church, is not a stranger also of this thing, because now they are coming to need in their life more than a mere man. Why must he be in one person also very God, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath and might obtain for us, for and restore to us righteousness and life. If we go to the Old Testament and we see the brazen altar, then we know that that altar was made out of wood. It was made out of shittim wood. And so what happens, children, if you would take a lamb and place wood on that wooden altar, and you make a fire on top of that wooden altar, say, that is not going to work. Why not? You say that altar is going to just burn to the ground. That is right. And therefore that altar needed a covering. It needed a covering of brass over top of it. And that was a picture for the children of Israel, of what was necessary in a mediator. That is what our fathers are speaking about here. Because that human nature that is represented by that wood, if the fire of God's wrath would burn against that human nature, we would be completely and utterly consumed. But therefore the Lord says there must be over top to protect that human nature, a divine nature. And these two shall be embodied in one single altar. They shall be embodied in one man who shall be the mediator between God and men. God, congregation, is a righteous judge. Not all the judges in this world are righteous judges, we know that. But what does a righteous judge have to do? A righteous judge must judge a righteous judgment. Thus, the wicked must be condemned, and the righteous must be acquitted. But there is something else. That when there are punishments, when there is a sentence against the wicked, then the punishment must be according to the crime. Those two must fit one another, because there are degrees in sin, and there are also degrees in punishment. Thus, a theft is not a murder. Why then is every sin against God worthy of an eternal punishment? You say, is that now the sentence of a righteous judge? Does my evil thought, does my evil motive have a punishment, an eternal punishment coming to it in a worthy manner? It does. And why is that? That is because God is infinite. God is infinite in every way. It is not just that God is not bound to time, but he is also infinitely righteous. He is infinitely just. He is infinitely transcendent. He is infinitely good, and so on. And thus, every sin that we as finite and mortal creatures sin against him, it is because of his own infinite goodness and his infinitude in general that sin is worthy of an eternal or infinite punishment. We, of course, are finite creatures. That means that we are not infinite in any way. That we are not able to give any kind of infinite value to the satisfaction that we would pay for our sin, because we are finite creatures. Thus you say, how will a man fulfill the punishment which is due unto him? It's only one way. There's only one way. That is that he would suffer it forever. Forever. That is the only infinitude that we are able to give as a value to our satisfaction. You say, are we able to give it? No, we are not. Because that means what? Well, that means, congregation, that we never come out of it. That means that it is never satisfied. That means justice never rests. That means justice is never quiet. And therefore, what is now necessary in a mediator? Well, it is necessary that that mediator would have an infinitude to give an infinite value to that suffering, which is not the infinitude of time, that may come from the infinitude of his being. And who is that? That is only God. That is only that divine nature. And thus it is only God himself that is able to give this value to the satisfaction for sin, that is able to bring it to an end, that is able to come out of it, and that is able to actually, as our fathers say, to obtain for and to restore to us righteousness and life. Thus our fathers, they display before us the depth of that pit that we have fallen into. And that brings the man congregation into a paradox. It convinces him that he needs a righteousness above his own, and that he needs a power that is above his own. Where does he learn that? Not from the catechism. No, do you know where he learns that? He learns that at the sea. He learns that at the sea, with Pharaoh at his heels, that is in a predicament, and with death behind him. The children are come to the birth, and they have no strength to bring forth. The Lord do not help thee. When shall I help thee? O God, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Did we ever come there? To stand there at the sea, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. When we are coming there, oh, then it is today. Why? Because he hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But thou, lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the congregation, what happens? And then suddenly, and unexpectedly, there opens a path. There opens a way. You know what the Bible calls it? A new and a living way. Ah, that is happening so suddenly. When the children of Israel are at a standstill, and when Pharaoh is behind them, ah, then the Lord is coming. Then the Lord is delivering his people in a time and in a manner and that they had never expected. Who then is that mediator? Who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you know how it becomes then for that people? We read that in the word of God. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Then he is revealed in that place where that people are at a standstill. And now what a wonderful thing it is for this people, for the children of Israel, when they may now go forward, because the Lord leads them forward, and they go down there, the banks of that sea. That is, congregation, a very great surprise for them. All that was only a way that the Lord could make. Only heaven could make this way for the children of Israel. And he did do it. And he did do it. Can you say that also in your life? And was that to your great surprise? And he did do it. Because we read it in the Word of God. And it was to the great wondering of the children of Israel. That is now the experience of that true church. Do you know what Paul says? He says that people, they were baptized. They were baptized there unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And in that baptism, there the people are introduced to the person of the mediator. There they are introduced to the person of the Savior. He is revealed unto their soul in a personal way. What do you think? Or do you think the children of Israel could ever forget that day? They spoke about that day. To their children and to their children's children many years later. No, that is not a day that is unknown in the life of God's people. That is a day that is remembered, and that is a very, very important day. That is what Bunyan also described in his Pilgrim's Progress. That day that he may come in there at the wicket gate. Then he is at a standstill at Mount Sinai. Then the curses of the law are coming against him, as Pharaoh did come against the children of Israel. Oh, and then that way was opened unto him, Bunyan says. Oh, then it is all one. And then we can hear how Bunyan is taking that picture of that pilgrim's journey directly out of God's holy word. And then they come, congregation, onto the narrow way. Onto the narrow way. And Israel comes where? They come into the wilderness. 40 years. They come into the way which the Lord will lead them. Do you know what our fathers used to say, the old people, they used to say to such a person when they heard it, welcome. Welcome in the strife. Let us sing a song of Simeon, 1, 2, 5, and 6. Lord, in thy temple we appear, as happy Simeon came, and hope to meet our Savior here. Oh, make our joys the same. And with what divine and vast delight the good old man was filled, when fondly in his withered arms he clasped the holy child. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of the Song of Simeon. Thank you. congregation, when the children of Israel descended into the sea, what did they experience? They experienced dry ground. And we read that the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus they experienced a sure footing. And those waters, which would have been death unto them, were for their protection. The daughters of Jerusalem said to the bride, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us?" And what did that bride say? She said, "He is altogether lovely. That is, that he is everything to her." Ah, you say, but that was the bride. She was that experienced child of God. That is true. But where now does that begin? That begins here. That begins in the revelation of that mediator to the soul of his people. Say, how much do they know of him? Very little. Very little. But there is one thing they see. One thing that they feel very, very sure of. That there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby I must be saved. Listen to our Father speak. Who then is that mediator who is in one person, both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What do they say? He is made unto us everything. Everything. That is what they see in their need, although they cannot explain it all. No, but they see and they feel, then, and he becomes what they need. Ah, he becomes just suitable for their case. Not just now for the case of my neighbor, but for the case of myself. And then they see so much beauty and so much preciousness in him in the moment of the revelation. Ah, then there is love. Love, you say, was there not love in their heart before? Yes. For whom? For God. For God. But there is no distinction yet between the persons in the Trinity. But now the Lord shows unto them, he opens to them out of his holy word who the Son is, who the mediator is, and for the first time in their life, oh, then the affections, they are going out after the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in him the Father has provided what no other person, no other creature, no one else was able to provide for them, a mediator who is in one person, both very God and real righteous man. When the fullness of time was come, oh, is it now for you yet the fullness of time? Oh, you say, oh, could it be? Could it be that it is the fullness of time now, also for me? Then God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, not to destroy the law, no, but to fulfill the law, because what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, as sending his own Son in the flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, here you have, indeed, that high priest who is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was tempted in all things like as we are, and yet without sin. Here you have that near kinsman redeemer who is able to approach for the sake of his sin-cursed brethren, that holy and that righteous God. Do you know what we read about Joseph? He said that to his brethren. They could not go just into Pharaoh, into that great man. And then Joseph said to them, he said, I will go up. He knew Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave him a place there. He says, I will go up and I will show unto Pharaoh and I will say to him, my brethren and my father's house, there come up to me. I will do that, my brethren. And I will do that in order that you may now live in that land of Goshen. O congregation, when the children of Israel were baptized in that sea, then they have experienced that those waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And it is so in truth, because justice that is either for us or it is against us. It either condemns us or it is for our defense. It condemned Pharaoh. Same waters. And they were to Pharaoh's destruction. Because justice, congregation, that has two sides. And those two sides, both of them are required to be fulfilled. Thus, it is not only that that justice does not condemn, no, but it is that that justice is also actually standing on the side of that people. That is, as those waters were on the right and on the left of the children of Israel as they are going down through the sea, our fathers, quote the Apostle Paul, who of God is made unto us righteousness. Thus righteousness that is demanding something. It is not only that the guilt is not there, but that righteousness that has been fulfilled. And when that righteousness is fulfilled, that is demanding life. That is not only for Christ himself known, but that is for everyone whose sin that he has taken upon himself upon that cursed tree. Oh, does a man understand all of that in his baptism? He said, no. Then he's just like a child, right? Then he is just standing in the entrance. He cannot explain all of this. He does not understand all of this, but he feels it. He experiences something of this in that spiritual baptism. When he is entering by that revelation of that Son, oh, then he feels something of the blessed solid ground. Oh, he feels something of the truth of God, of the justice of God. Oh, everything is now contained in that mediator. Oh, then he may see so much beauty and so much safety in what? In grace. In grace. In free and sovereign grace. Because when that grace is now applied, oh, then there is nothing. There is nothing that is able to come against that people anymore. When that grace is given unto that people, oh, what is now able to come against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Oh, then they may see, even though they know only the very beginning. When they may see him. Then their eyes are opened. That is a new way. That is a living way. That is a great wonder to them. Paul says, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Oh, they marvel at the Lord. How has he opened now a way when we could not see a way, when that way was so closed, and when death was following us so very, very closely. And then the Lord has opened it in the way of grace. And it was a new way, and it was a living way. And they have seen, and they have felt the firmness. They have felt that solid ground for a moment under their feet. And they have been given to walk now, to go forward in that way. Congregation, they could not learn it from the catechism. I hope you listen, children, young people, in catechism, in confession class, in the church, when there is preaching. But a man does not learn it there. I don't mean in a natural way. Of course, we learn it here in a natural way. But do you fold your hands and do you close your eyes and you ask the Lord, open it now to me. Open it now to the minister. Let him speak about it. Send thy spirit from on high, because it becomes so different in the life of that people. Do you know what the Lord says? Paul, he says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if we may now see it once, what that free and that sovereign grace is to the most wretched and to the most miserable creature here below, oh congregation, then the whole world can be saved, and I can be saved too. Free and sovereign grace. Oh, what did the angels say? Oh, they sang in the day that he was born. And we read that here, our fathers, they say it also. Because maybe you say, how is it that a person gets it then? How is it? That is what our fathers say. And the last thought, whence knowest thou this? I think they knew it too, don't you? The way they lay that out for us so beautifully. Whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself revealed, first revealed in paradise, and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Congregation, there are people, they are visited on their deathbed with vain words. Vain words. They lay there and death is coming. And they mean nothing. Mean nothing. Why? Because they are from a man. And you can hear that all in so many funerals also. Right? And what are all those words? They are nothing. What do they need? They need to hear it from the Lord. Elkanah, he could say everything that he wished for his sorrowing wife, and he could not make her glad. We cannot do that for one another, right? For our husband, for our wife, for our children. Know that godly sorrow. We cannot make glad that godly sorrow. Only the Lord can do that. And then Eli spoke. You say, because of Eli? No, but he spoke in the name of the Lord. And it was now that word of the Lord from the mouth of his servant that something happened. What happened? We read her countenance was no more sad. No more sad. Elkanah could not do it. It is the word of the Lord that is able to give this gladness and to reveal unto our soul what our fathers are here speaking about. Whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel. That is the joyful news. It is the joyful doctrine of Christ who is manifest in the flesh. The angel appeared unto those disciples, I said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ah, they were congregation, the gospel tidings. Ah, they were great, they were joyful tidings to those shepherds in the day that he was revealed from heaven. That hasn't changed. No, that hasn't changed at all. To all such who are even as those disciples. Because that is still preached, right? To the end of the world. But they are not joyful tidings to everyone. No, not everyone in the world hears them. And that there are many that do hear them, who are not so interested to go along with those shepherds, that we might see this thing which has come to pass. Then there are others who hear those joyful tidings, and the life is filled with all kinds of outward things, outward joys, all kinds of vanity and carnality. Then there are others say, no, we will not do that. And that is good. We will come into the house of God. And then what is it all about? Well, it is all about somehow, yeah, more religiously, but still a Christmas spirit that we must have. Oh, congregation, all of these do miss the joy that was living in the heart of those shepherds. Why? Because what the gospel promises, they have no desire for. Do you say, what does it promise? The gospel. The remission of sin and reconciliation to God by the mediator, Jesus Christ. What do you think of that? Because by nature, we do not even think about God. Right, young people? Whole week went by? Whole week? And we do not even think about Him. And thus the desire is not there. For what is promised by the Lord in that gospel, and now that gospel that is promised when there is repentance upon repentance and faith. Do we want that? Repentance? What is that? To open up that heart and to throw out everything that is of the world, that is of sin, that is of here below, that my meditation and that my heart and that my treasure may be in heaven. Want that? Those are, congregation, not the things that we desire. But now when the Spirit of the Lord begins to kindle it, when he begins to work that, and when it becomes a sorrow that's still inside of that heart, is so much world, and that there is an inner warfare, that there is a struggle between a new man and an old man. Oh, then they say, how can I be delivered? How can I be delivered from such a heart, from such wretchedness? Oh, then it becomes such a wonder when the Lord is opening unto them those gospel tidings. Next Lord's Day, the Lord willing, then our fathers begin to speak about faith. That is a good thing true saving faith, because that is now how that the revelation of Christ is received. And we need to know how that this is received by the true church of God. Thus the gospel. What is that gospel? Is that gospel then the New Testament? No, the gospel is not, because we can think that the Old Testament is the law and the New Testament is the gospel. But our fathers say no. They say that the gospel was first revealed in paradise. That was immediately after the fall. Genesis 3 already is the gospel. And afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Oh, that beautiful tabernacle. Oh, if you may only go into that a little bit. That was the gospel. The law on Mount Sinai. And the children of Israel, Moses is commanded not just to give that law, no, but to make this beautiful tabernacle and everything in that tabernacle that is pointing to the coming of this mediator. We spoke just about that altar, but there's so many other things. But that now is in the Old Testament. So it was in the Old Testament. They had to be saved by the same Savior in a spiritual way that you and I, a congregation, it was all under the shadows. There, it was all under darkness. They have truly been seen. Even the Apostle Paul, he says, we see through a glass darkly. That was even in the New Testament. But certainly that was in the Old Testament. And now the New Testament. In the New Testament, now that gospel, when before it was like in a bud that was not opened, and now in the New Testament, that is like, it comes out like a flower blossoms. You see that sometimes, children, right? It's all closed. And then when you see that, you may say, that is like the Old Testament. And then hidden inside of there, it was Jesus, in that bud. And now it opens up. Live in a beautiful time, don't we? Ever think about that? The beautiful, beautiful time that we live in. When the New Testament, that is what it's all about. When that gospel, and when the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty and in all his fullness that is opened up unto us. Oh, what a great responsibility that we have with our great privilege. The revelation of that mediator that is made known by means of the Holy Gospel. Was he ever made known to your soul by that same holy gospel? Not by extraordinary visions, not by extraordinary dreams, but by the Spirit of the Lord opening, revealing, taking off the veil of the word of the Lord. That is how it takes place. When you cannot see it. And then the Lord opens it. And then the joy. That is the fruit. It is the fruit of faith. But we have to leave that now. The Holy Gospel that is declaring congregation. It is declaring glad tidings. For impotent. For wicked. For wretched. For miserable sinners. What is it declaring? That the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. your heart ever leap for joy. But I may hear this, that it ever becomes suitable and precious for your own case. Ah, that is necessary, because without this, we cannot die. But in this is the beginning, just the beginning. Ah, even the beginning is so precious of eternal life. It is the beginning of the knowledge of the Son of Man, of the Son of God. And what does he say? He says this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but thy word is so precious. Make it so unto each and every one of us, for the first or by renewal. Bring us safely home. Give us meditation upon thy eternal and blessed truths. Give hope unto the hopeless. Give riches unto the poor. And wilt thou save the dying? Look upon each one. Wilt thou be with us when we hope to gather also on prayer day in this week? Supply in the bringing, in the hearing of thy word. Give us a true cry. Give us a true prayer. Dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 261. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. 1, 2, and 3 of 261. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.